I know last week I announced a particular sermon series, and I've temporarily suspended it, though it may actually go away altogether. Just was not at peace with the direction it was heading, and I think there are different needs present now. And to that end, we want to talk this morning about prayer, the importance of it, and the need to persist. If you have your Bibles with you, please open them to the Gospel of Luke. It's the third book of the New Testament, the 18th chapter, and the story of the persistent widow. Hear now the word of the Lord. And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. And he said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. And for a while he refused. But afterward he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I'll give her justice, so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. And the Lord said, well, hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect, who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? It's the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, help us to see in this your word not only the truth that we were meant to understand, but the initiative to do it. Knowing who you are and what you've called us to. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Reading a book this week by Eugene Peterson. I read snippets of him quite a bit. And the book is called Tell It Slant. And he writes, most people, maybe all, at one time or another, pray. And many, who knows how many, quit. And why shouldn't they? If they don't get what they ask for, if they don't get what they think of as an answer, why keep at it? The remarkable thing about prayer is not that so many people pray, but that some of us keep at it. Why do we keep at it? Why do we keep praying when we have so little to show for it? Anyone who has made a practice of prayer knows the feeling, overwhelming sometimes, that prayer is a leaky bucket. You go to the river to get a pail of water, and by the time you get home, the water is gone, the bucket empty, and all there is left to show for your effort is a damp trail soon to be wiped out by the sun. I think that is true. And if you feel similarly, you are not alone. For the best prayers in the Bible, from the book of Psalms, take this very tone. Asking in the midst of their own prayers. If you want to know how to pray, read the Psalms, and you'll be surprised what you find, because you'll find things like this. Why, Lord, do you stand far off? Why do you hide in times of trouble? How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? My God, why have you forsaken me? Remember that one? Rouse yourself. Why do you sleep, O Lord? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in anger shut up his compassion? And yet the psalmists keep praying. Why? Well, Jesus helps us to understand why. He gives to people like this, and he knew his disciples would be one of the fold who would experience such things as well. He gives them this parable. And interestingly, it's a parable that has a prelude to it, unlike most parables. Usually parables are things that Jesus would say, and after he's done speaking, the disciples would scratch their heads and say, huh? What does that mean? Well, this one, Luke gives us an editorial comment right out of the gate, saying the purpose of this parable is in order that the disciples would keep praying and not lose heart. And these two pieces of the sentence are interrelated, but let's look at them separately as well. Keep praying. Keep praying. In the parable, the woman persists in beating down the door of this unjust judge, pleading with him, saying, give me justice. My case and my cause is right. And time again, the judge would refuse and send her on her way. Now, it would have been understandable, would it not? It would have been comprehensible if on the first rejection, and then maybe the second rejection, and maybe even the third rejection, the woman would say, I've received an answer. It's clearly no. I will find justice by some other means. She doesn't. She keeps on. And it says, do not lose heart. Boy, in this parable, this woman is in a difficult situation. She is clearly facing a time of injustice which is damaging her life significantly. We are not to imagine in Jesus' parable, within the social scenario in which she was in, that she's complaining about a wrongful parking ticket or an overcharge on the phone bill. Right? She's being taken advantage of. She's a woman, she's a widow. Her life is dependent upon, at this point in her life, the support of the community and those who would stand up for her in difficult situations. In a situation like that, when justice is being denied, you would think that would be enough for her to, understandably, lose heart. But on top of that reality is the fact that she's beating on the door of someone who couldn't care less about God and had no regard for humans. It has to be a scary place to be. To find yourself in the presence of one in whose hands your life hangs in the balance. And this individual could care less about truth and certainly has no compassion. That would be, wouldn't you think, one of the worst scenarios of all? That would be enough for her to give up and lose heart. But she does neither. Why is that? Well, first, Jesus is very clear here that the justice she is asking for matters to him and should matter to her. What the woman is requesting really matters. She's requesting justice, for her cause deserves to be heard. Her life hangs in the balance in the resolution of this matter. And you know what? To lose this may be to lose all. And so it is with prayer. At least it ought to be. Why persist? Why not just give up? It should be because the prayer that you offer to God should matter to you. Your prayer on behalf of someone you love and know, or your prayer on behalf of whatever you're dealing with right now, should really count. It should really matter. It's not prayer for prayer's sake to say, I've prayed today. It's not prayer to appear holy and to impress other people. It's not prayer to show God the worthiness of your life and how and why you should be heard. We're not talking about standing before Him and doing the silly nature of, Dear Lord, I prayeth that you would beseech unto me thy grace, and you're going blah, blah, blah. Prayer is not flowery, formal nonsense. It can have great theological depth, but you're praying for what matters when you petition to the Lord. The request of the woman here would be more like the prayer, Lord, rescue me because I'm in slavery. Or, Lord, the report of the doctor is bad and I need your healing hand to be upon myself or my friends. Lord, my kids are across the sea and they need your protection. Lord, I don't know how I'm going to put food on the table. I need your help. Lord, someone I love is living a life that is a fast track to hell, and I can't bear to watch it anymore. You need to help. Aren't those prayers that matter? I have someone very close to me who's struggling in the midst of a time of his own life and asked me, why keep praying for this anymore? I'm not getting an answer. So because what you're praying for matters. It's not you can just give up and try something else. This is a point at which everything hangs in the balance. You cannot stop because what you are praying for matters. No matter how big, no matter how small, it's not trivia. Our heart should be in them. They should be things that move us to pray. And that's why she persists. It's because her cause matters. But Jesus makes a shift, though, at the end of the parable, because the cause itself is not enough. It was for her because she knew she was dealing with someone who could care less about truth and had no compassion at all. All that kept her going was the just nature of her cause. And her only hope was to beat him down, to wear him down. But Jesus says, it's not just the just nature of your prayer. It's not that something matters in your heart. You persist because you know, and you should know, the character of the one to whom you're praying. And as much as we may be frustrated with God at times, as much as we might question His timing, as much as we may feel as if that silence that we're experiencing is just deafening, we know, when we think this through carefully, we know that God is not like this judge. Will not God give justice to His elect, Jesus says, who cry to Him day and night? Will He delay long over them? I tell you, He will give justice to them speedily. We know. He's not irritated by persistence, as if He had better things to do. He's not roaming the world, concerning Himself with much bigger realities than those of our own lives. He is not a passionless administrator of justice without a concern or a heart for people in the midst of it. He's God the Father, who loves us, who cares for us, and He wants people who care about truth. He wants people who are concerned with justice. He wants people who have a compassionate heart, who see the world as it really is, and in the same breath can say, what I see is not okay. It should not be this way. And they want to do something about it. Yet, in the same breath, he also wants people to realize that though they see the world as it really is, to see it as it really is requires that we also recognize that we're part of the problem. That as much as we see the awful nature of what is happening around us, we know that our own sin is a part of the mess. And therefore, because our sin is part of the mess, we are not the answer. We are not the one who is going to bring about the answer to the prayer. God is. It's his truth and his grace alone that can save. He is the one who wants to share his truth throughout the world. He wants to display his justice for all to see. He wants his compassion to be felt in ways that our own actions could never bring about. We know the character of the one who is listening to us, and it is love, and it is truth. But we must also say that to know the character of God, to know that he is someone who loves us so much he would lay down his life, to know his character is to know that often we must wait. To await the answer that comes from him who loves us and to receive the answer in whatever form it might be. For it may not come as we expect. We all know this to be true. It may not be answered with the degree of vindication that we have desired. It also may, in fact, be a closed door altogether, moving us in a direction that requires us to let go of something. It also may be a realization that the motive of our prayer and the nature of the request was not as it should be. And therefore, we should trust God in virtue of his character to answer as he sees fit. One of the Christian saints of the past, Evagrius, never name your child that, Evagrius the Solitary, he wrote this. Often when I have prayed, I have asked for what I thought was good and persisted in my petition, stupidly requesting the will of God and not leaving it to him to arrange things as he knows it best for me. But when I have obtained what I asked for, I have been very sorry that I did not ask for the will of God to be done, because the thing turned out not to be as I had thought. So do not be distressed if you do not at once receive from God what you ask, for he wishes to give you something better to make you persevere in your prayer. What he's distinguishing in this text is the difference between stubbornly going with my petition versus persevering in prayer. That's the difference. My petition is requesting all of the means to unfold as I see fit for the just cause of my prayer. Perseverance in prayer is saying, Lord, I have no means, and only you can see this through. And therefore we persevere, always surrendering to the will and to the love of God. And whoever God answers it, it shows that he cares for all of our prayers, however big or however small. And he cares for us so much that he makes sure that the end is worthy of the one requesting it. For an answer to prayer from God is not an appeasement. It's not a token action to say, okay, Troy, I'm listening. I'll just give you something to keep you going. He doesn't answer this way. An answer to prayer from the hand of God is for our good and for our joy. And so he will not give dollar store answers to priceless prayers. And if we question that, We should ask, then, what do we think of the cross? For there is no higher cost for our sins that he would lay down his life for us. You want to know the character of God on our behalf? That's where we see it completely, and in the cross. So Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and to not lose heart. Why did he tell it? Because he knows us, and he knows we often stop praying to God and determine quite often to find other means, often ourselves. And why did he tell it? Because we often lose heart and become cynical and discouraged and question his goodness. But we do so usually not based upon the truths we read in the scripture. And we often forget the amazing answers to prayer that he has shown his people throughout history, as well as the answers to prayer in our own life. But it's easy to have that clouded by the storm we presently face. That's why he told this parable. Because he wants us to know that if we are praying about what really matters, we shouldn't just let it go in that sense. He is actually opening the door to keep pounding. Don't give up. And he wants us to know that unlike anybody else, his love for us is such that not only will he not turn a deaf ear to our cries, not only will he stand firm in the joy of listening to us again and again and again, he will actually give an answer speedily, he says, because he wants his will and his ways to be made real in our lives. Keep praying and do not lose heart, for your prayer matters to him. And he can be trusted. Let's pray.